friends. Welcome to our lifestyle podcast, Friends with a Twist. I'm Kenzie. I'm exploring this ethically non-monogamous lifestyle with my husband, Gary.
I'm Madison, and I've been having swinging fun with my husband, Barry, for 10 plus years.
We are best friends, but we also have a twist. We are social swingers who enjoy not just swinging, but naked fun.
We like finding friends who are sexually confident and free, just like us.
Join us as we discuss and share stories, tips, and husbands.
This podcast will contain sexually explicit material. If you are under 18, we are not the friends for you. Find a new podcast.
Hey friends, welcome to episode 35 of Friends with a Twist podcast. I am half of your podcasting hostess duo, Kenzie, and I am joined by my lovely bestie,
Madison. Hey guys. Woo! Episode 35. Love to have you guys here. Thank you for listening again. Wherever you do listen to your podcast, we would like to remind you to please subscribe so that you know when a new episode comes out.
You can follow us on all the social media channels, Instagram and Twitter. We're at FWAT_podcast. We love to hear from you guys and see all your fun comments and likes and questions there. So keep it coming.
Yeah, speaking of our social media, I recently posted a reel of snapshots from our New Year's Eve. So I know a lot of people like to see, what is it like hanging out with you? Or before you go out for a night, what is it like? Okay, it's not always that level. But I did post a reel where we start out comfy, comfy casual sweatshirts.
I'm wearing that sweatshirt right now.
The sweatshirt you're wearing right now. Then we just happen to change into lingerie for that night. There's always cheersing with Fireball. That's a given.
Well, duh.
And then we take our time to get into our sexy outfits and get ready for the night out.
Yeah. I mean, that was New Year's Eve. So it was sort of like a special, extra special occasion, I guess. So it warranted a little extra, a little, you know, we zhuzhed it up a little.
I guess we don't always prance around in lingerie just before a night out, but occasionally we really do.
It happens. So for this episode, friends, we are going to give you the chick chat, the update of kind of what's new with us. We have some fun stories, a couple unique things, a couple shared things between Madison and I. Our life and the lifestyle this episode, we are going to tackle swinger symbols and how to spot swingers and some of like the mystery and myth and stuff around that topic. For our going deep story, we have a juicy one from Miss Madison that I am excited to hear. And then, of course, we always wrap it up with a surprise question at the end of the episode. So that's what you have to look forward to. For your listening pleasure.
In between some Fireball shots.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of, I think we should just take one now. Clearly, we need a little pick-me-up.
Clearly.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, hot damn.
I didn't even shiver. That
it's
was
too
good.
Hot. Hot damn. Damn. So speaking of Fireball,
oh, God.
I'm just rolling right into the chick chat here. Yes, we have heard about the lawsuit between Fireball and the faux Fireball. We ourselves have been victims of this scandalous crime.
For years now.
Years. We live in a state that's very regulated in terms of alcohol sales. So we found it odd the very first time that we saw mini Fireball shots, like at the gas station. So we just fucking went with it, though. Goddamn, it was a Fireball bottle. Of course we bought it. Later to realize that it's not real Fireball.
Yeah.
So we appreciate all the heads ups.
The concern. Thank
you. I don't
know
if that's a thing. But yes, we are well aware. We've been victimized by this ourselves.
So for those who don't know, or for those who don't drink Fireball, or for those who are just
who
living
aren't
a normal
obsessed,
life and are not obsessed with Fireball, maybe we could explain what exactly the issue is here.
Yes.
Take it away.
So there is a company producing a malt liquor and portraying it with the Fireball. I believe like the logo is the same. The dragon is there in the little mini bottles.
Ones, yeah.
But the deal is that it's a malt liquor and it calls itself Fireball Cinnamon, not cinnamon whiskey, which is real Fireball. But to the casual observer, it all looks about the same, same color, same label, all that good stuff. So it is deceiving. In addition to kind of being a ripoff in terms of looking exactly the same, the reason it's a bigger deal is this malt liquor is a lower alcohol content than the real deal Fireball.
Boo.
So that's a bummer when you think you're getting one thing and then it's really not, it's not the same.
They catfished, basically. Yeah. They catfished people.
Exactly. And that's not cool.
So just keep an eye out there for anytime you buy a mini Fireball, make sure it says cinnamon whiskey.
Yes.
And you got the real shit. Unless you don't want it, then get the regular cinnamon faux pas.
That's fakey.
That's fakey. Yeah. God, we're on a roll tonight. But thank you guys again for sending us the articles. But just so you know, we do know. So don't feel like you need to keep sending it or anybody else. But
thank you for thinking of us.
But we love that so many people recognize that we love Fireball, because we always get messages about Fireball. Yeah, yeah. So that and the meme about the candle that smells like cinnamon, and the girl says it smells like Fireball. And she's like, Becky, that's cinnamon to the rest of us non-alcoholics, or whatever the meme is.
Yep.
Yes, that's a good one. Seen it a lot.
Got it.
God, we're bitches. No, we love you guys. We appreciate you. Send whatever you want to us, except your dick pics, and
we'll roll with it.
We'll be good. Yep. Perfect.
Okay. So now that we got that out of the way, Madison, do you want to share with all the good friends listening what's new with you and Barry?
Yeah. So as I mentioned last episode, Barry's traveling a lot for work right now, and he's actually away for like more than a week now. Mm-hmm. And so I've just kind of been doing my own thing at home. We actually got to visit each other recently. We got a little weekend away together. Yeah. So not any lifestyle play. And that weekend we tried. We put out a hot date. We actually tried to go to a club. Yeah, why don't I talk about that? So we were going to go to this club in Maryland. Seemed cool. I think it has really good reviews. I think they have a couple different locations in different areas.
Okay.
But we were going to go there on Saturday night for a glow party. But in order to go there, you have to sign up like a new membership application that has to get approved. And then I guess you can move forward to pay to sign up for the party or something.
Okay.
So we tried to do that online, but we never received the confirmation email after we submitted the application.
Ah.
Like it said, congratulations, you've submitted it. Keep an eye out for an email. Didn't get it in junk mail or anything. So Barry reached out to the club, and whoever is in charge of communicating with patrons is a... We didn't have a good experience. So she was very rude right off the bat. Mm-hmm. And he was just inquiring, like, we didn't receive this email. Is there something else we can do? And it was a very short answer, like, well, you clearly didn't submit something correctly. You need to do it again. And he said, he sent a screenshot that it said, like, successful. You did it. And she said, I don't know what you want from me. We can go back and forth all day on this. You can either redo it or do it in person. Your choice. Period.
Ooh, the period.
Bitch. We didn't really feel respected or welcome there, so fuck that place. We didn't go. So I can't give a review. And I'm sure people love it there. But if you're going to treat patrons and people who are going to pay to go to your site that way right off the bat, I don't want to support that.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to run a lifestyle business, I think you need to... Yes, they say the customer's always right. I don't always agree with that. But she could have just been like, I'm sorry, it looks like maybe something was incorrect. Would you mind resubmitting it again? Okay, sure. Not like, you did something wrong, clearly. You want to go back and forth all day? Like, it came across very defensive and, like, aggressive. So, we did not go to, and I don't think we ever will, unfortunately, because of that experience. So, unfortunately, that's what happens. If you get the wrong vibe from someone, and if you don't treat people with respect, this is where we are. So, that was kind of a bummer, but we still had a great time on our own. Yay. We drank our own fucking liquor in the hotel room. We used toys. We had sex, lots of 69ing and oral. Ooh. So, we had a fucking great time anyway.
Yay.
Besides that, on my own here, I don't know, lots of downtime, not a lot of lifestyle stuff. Keeping up with messages on SLS, the Friction Party site, SDC. Not tons of times playing with my toys, but I have my little... It's not little. You know that magic wand? I think that's what it's called. It's that big, bulky, like, looks like a back massager.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I also got a mini one for Christmas.
Ooh.
So that's just been a fun little thing. It still has a heck of a lot of power, like the mama bear.
Good.
But that's always been fun. I brought that also when I met up with Barry for our weekend away. We got to use that. So, and I guess the other thing I forgot to share earlier is that when Barry and I met up for the weekend in Maryland, we posted a hot date down there.
Yeah.
And we did get a lot of feedback. I put it for couples. Of course, we got a bunch of single males reaching out. But at that moment, I wanted to meet a couple so we could both just converse with somebody else and like have multiple people to talk to.
Sure.
And we got messages, but some were really pushy right off the bat. A lot maybe we weren't so much interested in, but we were willing to just meet them out for drinks or someone to talk to down there, someone to show us the town. Other people were writing back that, oh, they're going out to meet some vanilla friends or to go dancing. but like didn't really tell us where or when or give us much more.
Yeah.
And we wrote back, but then they didn't get back to us till like a day or two later.
Oh, nice.
So, I mean, if not how I don't know, works. If you're going to post a hot date or you see a hot date and you're going to respond to other people, please try to be on the lookout for when they write back to you, maybe.
Nice. That would even make if you some change sense. Your mind,
yeah, like yeah. at least write something back. I felt like we waited pretty long in the night. Like we were willing to go out pretty late if we needed to, but like we weren't getting the correspondence back. Yeah. I feel like people just reach out right off the bat and then they don't really follow through, which is frustrating. It happens a lot with hot dates.
Oh, bummer. But it sounds like you guys still made the best of it and had an amazing time enjoying each other, which is very important too. And
yes, that'll kind of go along with my story too, my going deep story, Barry and I. But I've been in this phase lately where I'm kind of in the slump of the lifestyle. Like I want to focus more on Barry and I right now.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, we've been doing this for how many years? 12?
A lot.
Plus years. Like, it's been our life. Like, I kind of just, I've been stepping back a little bit to just focus on us right now. I mean, we're still in the game, but with him being away and traveling quite a bit, like, I just, my priority is just our time right now. Sure,
of course.
To be honest.
And I think you need that every now and again for any number of different reasons. So it's always good to prioritize your relationship with your partner for whatever the reason is. I think you need to make time to do that, you know. Yes. For
I know we preach it to everyone else, and I'm like, why am I not taking my own advice and just spending time with my husband? But real quick, it'll kind of segue into what you're going to talk about. After our last episode, should we share how we made the brilliant decision to go to a local lifestyle club?
I mean, we can. I can't believe that anybody on FWAT is still talking to me, because I think in my haze that evening, I think I was leading the charge.
You were hardcore to go out
on that idea. Mm-hmm. So thanks to the whole FWAT gang for still putting up with me.
I pretty much supported you though. I went up, I got you some thigh highs or some fishnets.
You did.
And so we went to the local like grungy lifestyle club. It was packed.
It really was.
We strutted in there like feeling all good and sexy, drunk. You definitely did a pole dance for a little bit. I was like your biggest fan, like creeping around, like thought I was sultry as fuck, but great. I probably looked like the weirdest person ever.
I bet I looked pretty weird too. I have no idea what I look like.
But we led some group dances. It was a blast. There were some creepy single men, to be honest, like staring at us.
That
the whole
guy
time.
Telling us jokes?
I forgot about that.
Oh my God. It like like dad jokes. I don't even know. Oh.
He was much, much, much older and super friendly, but he kept walking up to just say random shit. And I was like, oh, that's so funny. All right, I'm going to go grab a drink.
It was rough.
So I don't know. Maybe some lessons learned for single men that we can talk about in the future. Some game. I don't even think he was single. He was with a partner.
Apparently, because I asked. Yeah. I was like, oh, where is she? And he kind of like pointed off in the distance.
Yeah,
but
there.
I didn't ever really identify the specific human he was referring to.
But lesson learned. It's always fun to do a spontaneous night out, especially with friends. There were no expectations that night.
Yeah.
We, even between the four of us, we didn't plan on playing. We just wanted to go out, have fun, people watch. We were more into it than the fellas, but thank you guys for sticking it out with us through that. All right, so besides that, what is new with you and Gary?
Since our last recording, I had a birthday.
Oh, yeah. So happy birthday.
That wasn't my point, but the reason I mention it is just that I got the most fantastic full body massage from Gary on my birthday weekend. Like, I really thought he had gone and taken a class or something, or like watched videos, or like he was like next level. I was so impressed. So that was an amazing gift.
Not sexual.
No, it really wasn't.
Wow.
And I even offered a blowjob at the end of it as a thank you. And he said, no, no, this was for you. Depending if you've been following along or for how long, last birthday, Gary bought me a massage table for my birthday. So that has been a lovely investment. I'm just going to throw it out there. If you have the means and the space to store this thing, it's amazing and I highly recommend it. It's much easier to give your partner a massage on this table than like trying to kneel on the bed and hunch over and like, it's not great. So anyway, lovely massage. We used our Promescent massage oil.
Ooh, that stuff's good.
Is very good. Yes. So I definitely recommend the massage oil. That makes all the difference too. So again, I realize like you're not just running out to the local store and buying all this stuff, but if you're able and willing, it's definitely worth it. So that was very nice. And then the other thing I'll mention is that Gary and I went to a meet and greet event which was unique in a couple ways. So my kind of like takeaway point to this is this meet and greet event was at a vanilla bar, which is a really nice feature, especially when you're new, perhaps, and you just want to feel things out, kind of dip your toes in, see what all this is about. Very low pressure. Like, we're in the middle of a town at a bar. There's really no expectation that people are just going to get naked and start fucking.
So can you tell who's there as a lifestyle person, or you really can't?
In this particular instance, it was a little bit easier because this bar had kind of like, I don't know, I guess like an upstairs area, I would describe it as. And it was specified in the event details that people were going to meet in this upstairs area. So that was very helpful. However, to that point, we have been to other meet and greets that did not have that level of detail. It's just, we're going to be at this place.
Oh, yep.
And then it does get very tricky to try to decipher who's there for what purpose. So kind of pros and cons. Again, if you're new and you just want to see what all this is about, it can be a pretty low pressure, like low expectation kind of way to do that, I think. But to me, the flip side is in some cases, it can be tricky to tell who's who. Mm-hmm. And that maybe presents its own issues. And a little quick side note, Gary and I have been at other meet and greets where the people there for the swinger meet and greet was definitely the majority of the people at that physical location. And I don't know if people just didn't care or weren't thinking about it anymore, but they were acting in a way that maybe is not completely appropriate for a vanilla setting.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I know that made Gary and I uncomfortable because we don't particularly want to be outed as swingers when we're just out at a bar. It's important to kind of, I don't know, be aware of some of that or walk that line. Or if you are meeting people out, even if it's like a first date kind of thing, I think you need to be respectful of people's boundaries and preferences. Maybe you're like completely out and give no fucks and like live your life. Yay. But maybe not everybody is there. So if you are communicating with somebody who is a little bit more reserved or discreet or whatever the situation is, I just think it's important to kind of be aware and keep that kind of stuff in mind. Because again, at this meet and greet that Gary and I were at, like we had a great time. Again, like nothing really crazy was going on. But in certain situations, I can see where, you know, you run into, I don't know, somebody from work and they're like, oh, wow, like, do you know all these people? Like, that's going to be really hard to explain. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it can be kind of a delicate balance.
I feel like that's even important to remind people that because we've been in the lifestyle so long, sometimes we bump into people from the past and I'm not right off the back and be like, hey, remember when we used to be swingers together? Like, regardless of whether they're, I don't know, with the same person or they're by themselves or we're in a, whatever setting we're in, a vanilla setting especially, that's not going to be my first topic with them to discuss. Right. Discretion is so fucking important in this lifestyle.
Right. You might have noticed that Madison and I don't show our faces.
Oh my God. Yes. And we get asked anywhere. Quite a bit. Why?
Because we want some level of privacy because we have jobs and other obligations and family members that we don't want to have to explain things to. So yeah, so we are not fully out. And God bless the people that are. Like, this isn't like an us versus them thing. It's just you have to do what's right for you. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at right now. So no, we are not going to show our faces on social media.
It's our prerogative and I'm sick of explaining to people. You are what you are, you do what you want, and don't question others. The end.
So that's what's new with us.
So anything else?
We got fun coming, but we just wanted to kind of make some of those points. So that, I think, wraps it up for this episode's Chick Chat. That's
the episode.
We're just fucking done. That's what's new with us. Gary and I are headed to PGC tomorrow night. We'll see what happens. Maybe a good story for you. But in the meantime, stay tuned for a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with Life and the Lifestyle. Friends, we are so excited to announce a new partnership with Promescent. You may have heard Madison and I talk about using their products in previous episodes, so we're thrilled to be working together now. Promescent has everything you need to be better in bed. They have a wide variety of products, delay spray and delay wipes, lubes, toys, condoms, massage oils, and one of my favorites, the before and after wipes.
from our opinion, they are a one-stop shop for all of your sexual needs. You can check out what they have to offer at promescent.com. That's promescent.com. You'll get free shipping on any orders over $10. And don't worry, all of your orders will arrive in discreet packaging, so the mailman will never know what's inside. I'm bringing it back. Hey guys, we're back. All right, we're back for Life and the Lifestyle. Woo! As we said earlier, this episode, we are focusing on those swinger cues. So, you know, you're out at a bar, you see the sexy couple, and you're not sure if they're swingers. Mm. There could be certain things that you could possibly look for or try to observe within their interaction that might give you a hint that they're swingers. But there's also a lot of things that I think are just common, I don't know, folklore about the swinger lifestyle. So we're going to try our best to break it down for you. We shared a question on our social media on Instagram and Twitter asking you guys about if you do wear certain things that kind of let others know that you are a swinger. If so, do you do that all the time when you go out? Do you do it sometimes? What are the specific things that you do to maybe give hints to others that you are swingers? So in a vanilla setting, that is. Let me preface that. All of this is in regards to, in vanilla settings, finding swingers.
Right. If you're going to a swinger event, I hope they're kind of implied. You don't need like us to put out the bat signal. But so on the Twitter, I had asked for friends active in the lifestyle, how often do you wear a quote unquote swinger symbol when going out to a vanilla setting? And I gave just a couple examples of like you wear a pineapple and an anklet, whatever. So the choices were like fast and furious. Often, sometimes, never. That's it. Boom. Done. 40% of the vote went to sometimes, followed by a close second, 39%, never. And often came in with 21% of the vote.
I'm not surprised.
I think we had definitely some fun comments. Thank you all. We had definitely a lot of the pineapple vibe, a lot of that happening, which is to be expected. A couple questions about what are the swinger symbols. So we'll get into that this episode. A lot of black rings that came up as well. Some of the anklet comments came up. We'll get into that in just a second. A couple people had referenced the fact that because of where they live and tend to go out, it's just too risky. Like they don't wear anything that might even remotely be associated because they just can't. So a nice variety of comments and things like that. So I think that leads us into what are these symbols? What are things to maybe look for? What are things that people wear, say, do? Some of that kind of stuff is what we were going to get into.
And it's important to note, we're going to talk about things that you can personally wear, but also things you might see on someone's house, on someone's car. I've heard the craziest fucking things that mean someone's a swinger.
Yes.
I can't even anymore.
I know. It's bullshit.
But I think the most common that we come across is the whole pineapple thing. And not just pineapples out and about, although these days people just think having a pineapple decoration in your home means you're a swinger. It really should be the upside down pineapple. And I know everyone kind of, I think, has an understanding of what pineapples mean, like the welcoming thing. But I did look at Urban Dictionary just for some top sources here.
Yeah, you know, we're very scientific up here in Fwaland.
And that's exactly what it said. It said the pineapple itself represents hospitality and welcoming, which, duh, that's what swingers are.
Yeah.
But however, a pineapple is placed on a porch or a mailbox to signify a swinger party is going on. A pineapple is turned upside down when a person is in search of a swinger party. Originally, it was turned upside down in the individual shopping cart. So a few different things, like pineapple on a mailbox. Maybe it's a swinger house party going on. I've seen a lot of posts on Facebook. I'm part of this one group, and they jokingly post photos in the food store with upside down pineapples in their carts. And half the people are like, I don't know what this means, but everyone's been doing this. So ha ha ha. And then all the swingers comment and like laugh at it. So yeah. I don't know. I feel like the pineapple thing is just kind of a joke at this point.
I would agree. I think, I mean, absolutely the pineapple as a symbol of hospitality and being welcoming, like that has existed for years and years.
And
that
should keep existing.
Yes. But I think that most swingers who are aware of that meaning, at least, I think a lot of us have just basically made a joke of it at this point.
Yeah.
I have never put a pineapple upside down in my shopping cart at the grocery store. I don't anticipate doing that. No. That's not where I want to search for my pool of sexy friends. I'm sorry. So yeah, for I think for a lot of us, it's almost just sort of a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a bunch of fucking pineapple shit now because it's just sort of like a funny haha
exactly
kind of thing. And I don't know, I feel like that's where a lot of swingers are at. It's kind of like that, like reclaiming the symbol or the word kind of idea almost. Like, we're like, okay, haha, yeah, real fucking funny. All right, we're pineapples.
So advice if you're out in a vanilla setting, don't just think someone with a pineapple on their bag or on their purse or on their jewelry is a swinger.
Right.
If it's upside down, I would definitely think twice that maybe they are. Because yes. Why would someone who doesn't know put a pineapple upside down? But if it's just a regular old pineapple on something, I wouldn't necessarily assume right off the bat that they're a swinger.
I think that's good advice. Don't walk up to that person and be like, hey, want to fuck? That yes. may not go well for you.
I don't
you.
Think I would ever recommend that, period.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's fair too.
So we got the pineapple, the flamingo, and I feel dumb, but I didn't actually realize that was like a swinger symbol until very recently.
And that one, I don't have like the whole backstory. Like, okay. I don't know. Yeah. Did you find any kind of historical evidence? I know like some of these other ones that we're going to talk about, we did find sort yeah. of like the historical context maybe, or like kind of at least where it came from. I don't know where the hell the flamingo came from.
There was something, again, on Urban Dictionary that definitely talked about a pink flamingo. And I know majority of them are pink or light or
aren't
white
they all
or
pink?
Light.
Or like, maybe there's some white.
All right. Oh, God, we just sound stupid the more we talk. But anyway, I did find something about pink flamingos on Urban Dictionary, but the definition kind of went more into like sexual acts and it led me down a rabbit hole that didn't apply. I'm not sure where that began. And if someone would love to send us an email or a message about the history of flamingos meaning swinger, maybe we should ask the swinging flamingos, our friends.
Hey, Kimmy Lee, guys, we probably should have reached out before this.
Please edumacate us. But that would be interesting to know because I would love to have more flamingos out and about. But again, that's something that's so common in tropical things that you can't just assume they're swingers if they have flamingos. So
yeah.
So something also that I recently just read about on social media was fucking shower loofahs on car antennas.
Yes.
Whichever cars still have antennas.
Yes, I saw that. What the hell?
And I think mainly in Florida. Florida. Just kidding. I love you guys. But there was this whole video about how a certain color means the level of what you're interested in the lifestyle. And I didn't put it in my show notes. I forget. But I could very easily look it up and share it.
But I heard it was all connected to that like big ass like retirement community down there.
I heard something about that too.
Where they're all just crazy as fuck. But yes, like so the different knows? Colored loofahs meant like bisexual or soft swap or full yes. swap or yes. like, yeah, there was different designations.
But someone more local to this northern area of the United States
okay.
saw one out and about. But I don't recommend putting a loofah on your car. Not the best way to find swingers.
No. Yeah. Not my first choice.
Probably a little bit more reasonable and recognized for legit swingers is certain types of jewelry. You wear the Desire necklace quite a bit. That
I
little
do.
Desire
I
logo.
Do have it. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Black rings are a common thing. So mm-hmm. Do you want to break down some of that?
Sure. So with the black ring thing, in my research for this episode, I learned that the black ring was actually a symbol for the asexual community for many years.
Ooh.
And like, I don't know when exactly the swingers sort of tried to take it over.
It's quite a difference.
I know. That's very quite different. But even in just speaking for Gary and I, a couple years ago now, bought him a black rubber ring to wear as his wedding band. Because
mm-hmm.
he's all paranoid that he's going to lose the real one and fuck it up or something. But he does wear it on his left hand. I think the swinger symbol or mm-hmm. I don't know, myth or whatever this is that people wearing a black ring on their right hand
yes.
is signifying that they are a swinger.
But or again, into some sort of open type of relationship.
Yeah, some, type
of
yeah, thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think the caution there is you can't, if you see a black ring, I don't think you can just make that assumption that there's some sort of swinger vibe involved, because I feel like there's a lot of people in the fitness gym community these days mm-hmm. that are wearing those rubber rings.
Definitely.
That happen to be black. who may or may not be involved in an alternative lifestyle. So again, I don't think that this is something where just because you see that one thing that you can make the assumption that it means a certain thing. Like, you might notice it and maybe you want to look for other signs or cues to support your initial hypothesis.
Or throughout a conversation. Yes. Right.
But I don't think you can just make that assumption.
That's going to be the theme of this. That there's no one solid guarantee. So the desire necklace, or the desire logo that I was talking about, I don't think anyone who would, if you've never been to Desire Resorts, you would never know what this symbol is. Mm-hmm. It's definitely going to only be recognized, I think, by those that are in the lifestyle.
I think that's fair.
The symbol has a lot of meaning to it. Maybe we should share a photo of it on our social media.
Yeah.
Because it almost kind of reminds me of like something with like horns. Or
It looks a little uterine.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
That doesn't help the picture.
No, I think there is some sort of legit explanation and meaning behind the symbol.
There is, yes. I don't remember what it is, but there's a breakdown for each little part of the symbol, how it goes with like the female anatomy and the connection with others. It's It really does make sense. But just looking at it, it's beautiful, but it doesn't look like a swinger symbol.
Right, exactly. And I know like we have a mutual friend who wears that necklace really quite often. And when she has been asked about it, has just said, oh, it was just like this pretty thing that I found on vacation in Mexico. And she just kind of like plays it off, you know, in that way. It's not a blatant sort of thing that raises like too many questions.
Exactly. But yeah, as I said not long ago, that swingers would recognize this. That is, we're definitely on the path where it's more distinct.
Yes.
A swinger would recognize that and be like, oh. Or even if you're not a swinger, you're at least very open to being naked or nude at a resort and you're an open type of personality. So that's...
Right. You don't have to be a swinger to go to Desire, but you would at least be open to it.
Along the lines of jewelry and something that a person might wear to show what they're involved in the lifestyle, I know there's this whole realm of anklets and keys that people wear. And to be honest, I don't know that much about it. I've never been a part of that type of thing. I think you did a little bit of research to maybe better understand.
I mean, I tried. I would agree. Like, it's not exactly my realm of expertise. But it seems to be that the anklet typically is a more of a hot wife symbol, that the anklet kind of signifies that the woman is available to other partners. If I am understanding it correctly, don't come at
me. And is it just a regular anklet?
With your hate if it's not right.
I like anklets.
I have an anklet.
Sorry, if you don't know, it's okay.
I don't know for sure, but I feel like a lot of what I have seen, and this is like not like fucking scientific research, but the Queen of Spades symbol seems to be a big like hot wife symbol. I've seen like tattoos, which I guess is probably a whole nother thing.
That's commitment.
Yeah, I mean, like you're really fucking in it to win it.
Nice.
I don't know that the anklet has to have a specific thing. I know I've read things indicating that if there is a key, that that again is kind of a symbol fucking within a symbol. Like, you can totally go down the rabbit hole with this stuff.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, I think I can speak for both of us that our advice is you don't just run up to somebody and say something fucking weird because you see one of these things.
Exactly.
Like, you need to kind of make some observations, proceed with caution. Like, yes, maybe it could be an indicator, but none of this is a foolproof, oh my God, it's a black ring, they're a swinger. Like, no, it doesn't work that way.
And not only on the body or on the person, I've heard some crazy things about a rock in front of someone's house, like purple, I think. Oh, maybe I just like to paint rocks. Was it Pennsylvania Dutch or Amish? The star.
The star on the barn.
On barns? That's fucking everywhere in Pennsylvania, at least. Like, I doubt they're all swingers. Maybe they are. Rock on. But I wouldn't put that on my house to signify passerbys that I'm a swinger.
Yeah. Because that star, that hex, actually goes back to being a sign of good fortune. So farmers would put it on their barn to be like almost more of like an omen kind of situation rather than a swinger symbol, as I understand it. But it's somehow like one fucking weirdo was like, oh, that star means you're a swinger. And then it like this weird shit just takes off. And then people think These are swinger symbols.
They were probably jealous of that farmer's crops and they wanted to put them down. Hell, and they're they're swingers. No, but it's funny that like a couple symbols that mean good fortune or mean hospitality or mean something positive, we now use as a swinger symbol. That's kind of cool too. There's like a whole can of worms that go into the cues or things that would make you think someone might be a swinger or you maybe question what somebody's doing. We have a little more we're going to break down, but there's something I just remembered that there's been so many times that Barry and I have been out to meet a single male. Sure, I don't really think anything of it, but sometimes I do. I'm like, what are people thinking? They like, it's two guys and this girl here. Yeah, majority of people are like, okay, they're friends. Fuck, whatever. It's fine. Not fuck, but they just think, whatever, they're friends. But in my mind, because I'm a swinger, I feel like everyone knows. And there's this vanilla friend, a single vanilla friend of Barry and I's that we go out with all the time for wings, for drinks, for beers. But it'll just be like the three of us. And I'm like, oh my God, do people think we're going home to do something? Do people think we're hooking up? I guarantee like 1% of the population would ever think that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think once you're a swinger and you know these things, it's on your mind 24/7.
Right.
But if you're not, it's not.
Exactly.
At all.
Yeah. So I think aside or in addition to some of like the jewelry, like these things you may or may not see at people's houses, maybe a couple kind of behavioral things that you could look for. So let's say that you're just whatever at a bar next to this attractive couple and you notice that the woman has a pineapple necklace on. So your interest is piqued. Maybe you try to initiate a conversation to delve a little deeper, get some more info. For example, let's say that this couple starts talking about their lifestyle or how they're really open-minded or how they like to try new things. Okay, maybe these are a couple more clues to support the idea that they could be swingers.
Breadcrumbs.
Again, I'm not suggesting that you jump to conclusions, but yes, absolutely, Madison. There might be a trail of breadcrumbs for you to follow in this case.
Nom, nom, nom.
Is the woman wearing something provocative? Like, is there some cleavage involved? Does it seem like this couple is taking good care of themselves? Because as much as I hate to just play into stereotypes, I think there's a little bit of that like, well, you get married and it doesn't fucking matter anymore and you get fat and lumpy and whatever.
Wouldn't that be great?
Swingers don't do that. Swingers don't do that.
So typically not.
So there's that. That could be another little breadcrumb to lead you down this swinger path. If you try to initiate a conversation with this couple, do they kind of like, they're into it. They jump on it. They're witty. There's banter. They're coming back with, you know, bazinga. Probably not. That's weird too. But like, I feel like a non-swinger couple will just give you like.
Short answers.
Yes. No. Thanks.
Closed.
Yeah. Right. But like a swinger couple will sort of engage you in conversation, start asking you questions, like open it up a little.
And something else, I don't think you necessarily know this about people at the bar, but your friends or people you're questioning that you're connected with on social media, say maybe they go on vacation, but your vanilla friends on Facebook or Instagram, and you know they went away and they're not sharing very many photos when they normally do. Or there's like two photos of their amazing vacation and you're like, wow, I wonder what else they did. Why aren't they sharing more? They normally share so much more. Well, there might be a reason.
Because they were buck naked the whole time, fucking people by the pool.
Yeah.
And you can't put those photos on Facebook.
Unfortunately not. Or Instagram. Twitter's okay.
I speak from experience.
That is you and Gary. Well, I mean us too, but.
Yeah. But again, it is. And I think that it does require a little explanation in your vanilla life because Gary and I have played that game. We tell our family and closest vanilla friends that, you know, we really love this particular resort. We go back year after year. It's great, whatever. So, you know, we don't need to post photos every year. It's the same place. Like, we don't want to be pretentious and, you know, be showing off our vacation every year. Like, we don't really post very much. So we've kind of like built this whole like fucking backstory at this point as to why we don't post many photos. If you don't want that level of commitment, like, I get it. You can find ways to take some photos and, you know, whatever. Bella. You got to do what's right for you. But that's what Gary and I do at this point.
taking all that into consideration, people probably wonder what the fuck we do when we go out. Do we like to draw attention? Do we like to give little breadcrumbs? Do we like to make people wonder? Sometimes. But for the most part, I'll speak for Barry and I first. We don't. We do not, because we usually go out close to where we live at home, and clearly we don't want to be outed for doing this podcast. We don't like to wear pineapple things or black rings or certain types of jewelry. I don't even have a desired necklace or anklet or bracelet. None of it. I don't. I'll wear like a low-cut shirt and have my tits out, but that doesn't mean I'm a swinger, so that's okay. But even some certain meet and greets we won't necessarily go to if they're local, just because even though that you're at the vanilla bar doesn't mean you're a swinger, but we don't want to be in association with that publicly.
Yeah.
So to be honest, no, Barry and I don't. So you would never, hopefully, knock on wood, you would never know that we are swingers unless you find us on a lifestyle website.
Yeah.
How about you guys?
I think pretty similar. I feel like the sort of desire and pineapple jewelry that I do have, I really only wear to swinger events. Or on a swinger vacation or like that kind of thing. I do have one very nice pineapple necklace that Madison gave me as a gift. It's not an upside down pineapple.
Oh, nonchalant.
It's just a pineapple that I do really enjoy wearing. I tend to wear it more so in the summer with my summer attire. I will wear that out. But again, like, it's not upside down. It's not like a fucking huge flamboyant pineapple.
No.
Like, it's just a very nice, delicate necklace that I love. So I will say that. But yeah, the other sort of stuff that I own that I think would be more, perhaps more readily identified as like swinger attire, I really truly only wear like when we have a house party and there's all our swinger friends over, or I'll wear it at Desire or like those kinds
or
of things.
To a club.
To a club event. So same for Gary and I, you know, when we're just out and about trying to like get a buzz on, like, no, I don't need to be identifying as a swinger. I don't know. It just feels a little too risky.
And I'm sure there's definitely a percentage of swingers or open lifestyle type of people out that want to broadcast it purposely to meet others, specifically 40%, if you look at our survey of 305 votes, I think it was.
Ooh,
I remember that. But there is some sort of percentage that they want to put it out there. They want to be noticed. They want to be recognized, maybe not by everybody, but at least by other swingers.
Yeah.
And there's a probably smaller percentage that want to be recognized by any and all because they love the attention and maybe talking about the excitement of it. And they want to share that with anybody and everybody they can. That's wonderful. We're just not there yet. I think we're the majority who doesn't want to be recognized in a vanilla setting, that is.
Right.
Maybe on vacation, who gives a fuck, in another country. But out in a vanilla setting in your area, you want to remain discreet. I think that's the biggest takeaway. There can be so many symbols, breadcrumbs, whatever out there. Nothing's a fucking guarantee unless you find someone on a lifestyle website. I don't know what could be more of a guarantee than that. If they're on SLS, if they're on SDC, if they're on Cassidy, if they're on any other kink sites or this and that. Yeah, I don't know how to talk yourself out of that one.
No. Yep. I agree. Yeah, I think a lot of these symbols and whatever are kind of urban legends to some extent, and you can't totally trust them in and of themselves. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, this was just kind of like for fun. We just wanted to put some of this out there. Because, again, if you're new to the lifestyle and sort of trying to figure all this all out, like, maybe it's good to know what some of these things are that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I mean, really, if you're trying to connect with actual lifestyle people and friends, yeah, you want to go to specific designated lifestyle events, be on those lifestyle sites. That's really going to be your best bet to connect with lifestyle people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm parched. We're going to take a quick break, refill our drinks, and you're going to hear from one of our sponsors. As soon as we get back, I am sharing a sexy story for going deep.
Woo!
Hey, boys. Let's talk about your balls. Are they hairy? If so, I don't want them in my mouth. You've all heard that story about my experience with hairy balls, and no one else should have to experience that. So we've got your solution. Our friends at Manscaped sent Barry and Gary the Performance Package 4.0, and they are both fresher and smoother than ever before.
The Lawnmower 4.0 gave Gary his best shave ever. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner are keeping Barry's boys in tip-top shape.
So if you boys want balls that all the ladies want in their mouths, visit manscaped.com. You can support the Friends with a Twist podcast and get free shipping and get 20% off your order if you use the promo code FWAT at manscaped.com.
That's promo code FWAT for free shipping and 20% off your order.
Links in the show notes.
All right, we are back with our Going Deep segment, and this episode is brought to us by Miss Madison. Mm-hmm. And I know nothing about this story, but I have every expectation that we will all be left hot and bothered.
Oh my God.
So without further ado, Madison, take it away.
You always put so much pressure on me. Oh my God.
You do the same thing to me.
All right, so this story is a little different than some other ones. This story is about a session with Barry and I. Yes, Barry, my husband.
Oh my gosh, husband and wife?
We do have sex. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Which is amazing and good, and you should do that.
No, I felt like it'd be pretty cool to share something between the two of us amidst this lifestyle world that we live in. So this story actually comes from something that goes along with our last episode, kind of follows along the lines of reconnection. This play session came about after a pretty serious conversation between Barry and I, about what we really needed more from each other.
Okay.
What we needed more of from each other.
Yeah, yeah.
We were kind of in that spot where we were getting just a little comfortable day to day, and we've had some lifestyle experiences where it's been great with other people, but our day to day and us has kind of been lacking compared to that. And the priority should be us. So we had a conversation about how he wants occasionally to see me maybe surprise him with lingerie. And I said, I would like you to not be walking around in just certain types of regular underwear, like maybe something a little tighter, or maybe sure. Show me a little bit more interest. Like, you make the first move, not just me.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a very personal conversation about that, and I'm not going to delve into that, but I think those are important to have.
Yeah.
But because of that, we both learned from it, and very quickly after that, and pretty regularly, we both adapted. So several times he'd come home from work, I'd be at the stovetop cooking in lingerie. But because he wasn't always ready to play right away, I'd have like a sweater on top because I get fucking cold. So we're still learning.
There's some reality to the situation. Yes.
Yes. But one of the things I said was that I wanted him to make the first move, show a little bit more interest and initiative from time to time.
Okay.
Not that he doesn't, but I wanted a little more.
Sure.
So this story is about a time where we actually both surprised each other. I came downstairs. We were hanging downstairs in our bar area. I came down in lingerie while he was doing some work on his laptop. And he needed to finish what he was doing. So he was kind of like, wow, amazing. But like, I got to finish this. So I was like, fuck. Like, I sat on the couch and I was like, blah. I promise the story gets better.
Okay.
Little did I know, at one point when he went upstairs to go to the bathroom, he lit the sex candle up in the bedroom. Ooh. And there was a surprise waiting for me at that point. So here I am kind of moping around like, mar, mar, mar. This is why I don't do this. You're never ready. You turn me down, blah, blah, blah. He took me upstairs, like led me upstairs, holding my hand. We went into our bedroom. The lights were off. I called the sex candle because it says something like, light this when you want to. I don't. It suggests you want to be sexual when it's lit. I forget what it fucking says, but we call it the sex candle. That was lit. The TV was already on, playing some music. Nothing like super romantic, but kind of hip hoppy R&B. You know, okay, those sexy vibes.
Yeah, yeah.
On the bed, our nicely made bed, was a blindfold, some toys that I could choose from, and he was like, put these on and pick something that you want me to use. I was like, oh my God.
Okay.
Okay. I am down for this. I don't need this every night, but once in a while, this is fucking amazing. So I picked the toy that I wanted. It was a pretty comfortable vibrator that I love.
Okay.
It was one of my purple ones. It's very stimulating inside, but it has this little like hand, this little outer piece that touches the clit too.
Okay. But like a tried and true.
Yes.
Like
legitimate insert the vibrator, but also does the clit too. So.
Got it.
I chose that. I put the blindfold on. I was already in lingerie, so he had the best of both worlds. Like, perfect. I was ready to fucking go. I had on a two-piece lingerie and like a little silky robe. So it was separate. It was very easy to remove the bottoms or remove the top, whatever he wanted.
Very functional. What color?
Blue. Dark navy blue and black.
Ooh, nice combo.
Yes. So I laid back on the bed, very eagerly put the blindfold on. And there's something about having one of your senses taken away that is just so exciting. Mm-hmm. Like it makes every other sense that you have 10 times, tenfold. So I'm just on my back laying there. I can't see anything. And then all of a sudden I just feel his hand like lightly caress up my thighs a little bit. Like something turns me on about just feeling him breathe on my neck. So when he comes up towards my face, he's kind of just breathing and like softly kissing my neck. And I'm getting goosebumps everywhere. Because I don't know where he's going to go next, but everything feels so good. And he's lightly kissing. He doesn't kiss my mouth at this point. He's just touching, and everything is very light. So I'm already worked up. That's all it takes to get me wet. So I already know I'm wet and ready to go. Like, the pussy is ready. I'm like, just fuck me already. And then I'm like, no, just enjoy this. Enjoy this, Madison. Just enjoy it. Because when I get worked up, I just want to go full throttle. So he starts very slow and sensual. He then takes the vibrator that I have, kind of pulls the panties at it, the lace panty, like thigh-high type of setup thing, to the side, turns on the vibrator. So I feel that just lightly external.
Okay. Okay.
Very teasing, which works any female, I think, up 10 times more. So he's teasing me with that while still, like, he'll come up, his hands down on the toy, on the pussy area. Then he comes up with his mouth and he's kissing on my neck. Then he finally gets to the corner of my mouth and is, like, teasing me. Like, I'm trying to turn my head to kiss him and he takes forever to finally kiss me. And I'm like, oh, you bastard. But, like, I'm being a good girl. Like, I keep my arms down on the bed. I don't really touch him too much. Mm-hmm. But then the toy gets a little more intense. And it's just doing this. This one just has like a constant vibration. It kind of goes like it ramps up a little bit.
Okay.
But it's not some crazy pattern.
Right.
So that's pushing on me like pretty firmly, which turns me on. And then he's kissing up my stomach because, again, it's all just bare skin, like exposed. Kissing in between my tits, like rubbing them, just feeling his breath on me does something to me. So I am like at this heightened excitement and in true Madison fashion, like I just grab his face and I'm like, just kiss me. Like we just start making out passionately. And then he kind of pulls away and I'm like, ugh, fine, do your thing. Fine, I'll behave. And he goes back down, takes the toy away, and then he starts just licking me, eating me out a little bit, gently.
Okay.
Finally pulls the panties down. I'm like, thank God, so we can do something. But he takes them off. Yes, as expected, I am wet. But he just starts eating me out lightly.
Oh.
And, like, I don't need full-on, like, tongue penetration anyway. But it's just nice sucking externally, like, enough pressure. And then occasionally he'll bring the toy back in to add a little extra sensation. Okay. And I'm still blindfolded.
Okay, okay.
And I still have my top on, but he'll like reach up occasionally with one of his hands and like kind of grab my tits a little bit, play with them. So there's that touching sensation again. And then I would love to be sensual straight through, but I can't. So like I am at that point like grinding my body up and down, like thrusting my pussy into his mouth and his body like, fuck me, fuck me, fuck me. And then I just take off the blindfold and I'm like, oh my God, please fuck me. But we don't right away. I suck his cock then.
Yay. So,
quick change of the script. I'm like, thank you, buddy. Like, buddy. God, I do that in the worst moments. I do say that to him. But I'm like, thank you, baby. Like, you lay down now. I need to suck your cock to get you ready to fuck me. I just need to do something for you.
Yeah.
This is fucking amazing. The room's still dark. The music's going. I smell the candle. I just deep throat the fuck out of him. Mm. Like, hard. Immediately. He's already hard.
Yeah.
Because I assume he was turned on from this whole event, too. And something I'm about just having, like, a hard cock in your mouth, doesn't it? It just feels so fucking good.
It's pretty
good. Not even necessarily power, but kind of. I don't know.
No, yeah, but, like, yeah, I get it.
Kind of that control, like, I'm doing this to you, or you wouldn't be like this if I wasn't here, which turns me on selfishly, I guess. So once I know he's very well firm and ready to go, I then get in my favorite position, which is on my knees, bent over doggy style, and he just starts fucking me from behind. And I think the whole thing that was turning me on this whole event was that it's kind of something that I asked for, and it was him hearing me. God, yeah. It sounds so like emotional, but like he heard me. He was giving me what I wanted, literally, in like more ways than one. Like he heard what I wanted, and he was giving me that attention and making me feel so desired and so wanted and special in that moment that I swear, from that moment to recently, I don't think I've ever been wetter fucking him. There's times where he's like, he'll tease his cock like before he goes in me, and I'm like, what are you rubbing on me? Like, cause I think he's rubbing like some sort of lube canister. He's like, it's just me. And I'm like, that's just my wetness. And you like, fuck. He's just, I think it's heightened our desire for each other. Having these conversations, which is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And he fucked me amazingly that night. This is just one of the nights, but we finished, and I think we were both just so riled up from it all and feeling happy that we both listened to each other and were kind of doing something for each other in that moment, that the climax and the ultimate, I don't know, release at the end was so amazing for both of us together. I came. Clearly, he then came, because that's obvious to tell when a guy comes. And he doesn't come inside me, so he pulls out right at the end, and I let him come on my back this time. Sometimes it's in my mouth, but this time I'm like, you can come on my back. I'm on my ass, so I let him do that this
Your
time.
Your ass back?
my cum cups on my back. That's what they're there for. So
was it pretty like simultaneous though? It kind of sounds like it was close, like one after another.
No, I was definitely before he did, okay. And then again when he did.
Oh, all right. Yeah. All right. Twofer.
No, yeah, nice. Him with his mouth and the toy like got me there. And then when he put his cock inside of me, it was done.
Yeah.
That's a fucking given.
Sure.
I'm trying to remember. I don't think we even did another position. It was just straight up fucking doggy. Fucking doggy. Yep.
Yeah. No. Good. Do it. Do it.
And that did it. I don't know. I like just having my ass in the air and then feeling him grab it. And
it's a good ass. Yeah.
Hits all the right spots. So I know that was kind of short and sweet, and it's just my takeaway from that is the fact that we were kind of maybe in just a routine spot in our relationship. We finally had a conversation about what we wanted from each other. We both listened, and it heightened our next experience tenfold.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest takeaway. And it really has since then. We don't always use a blindfold, or he doesn't always lay out toys or light the candle. But I don't know, something about our connection lately is just, I don't know, it's on like another level.
Yeah.
And we're not even playing with that many people lately. Like, it's really just us. And I think that's maybe that'd be that way without the lifestyle. But I really think the lifestyle has helped us get to this point. Yeah. So.
And that's so important. Like, I think you need to make that time for each other, for your primary partner. And like you said, I think I can see both sides of the story, but there's something so powerful about expressing your needs and being heard.
Yeah.
Like, I can't expect anyone to read my mind that I want whatever. Yeah. Fucking flowers, a diamond ring, an anal plug, like whatever. Like, but if I say it and you hear me and respect me enough to then honor what I'm asking for, That's a like turn on. Next level shit.
Yeah.
So yeah. So don't ever feel like just because you asked for something and then somebody does it, that doesn't diminish it at all. To me, it fucking heightens it.
Good point.
All the more. They've listened. Good they've point. Understood. And now they're taking action to like make your shit a reality.
Good fucking point. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they do it more than once, which he has been lately.
Bonus points.
Yeah, highly recommend using toys, using some sort of sensory deprivation in your play in the future.
I like it.
Because, my God, that got me fucking going like within 10 seconds. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
So thank you, Barry.
Excellent story from Madison in all sorts of ways. Hot all in and of itself, highlighting the importance of connecting with your partner. All sorts of good stuff happening there. Whew. All right. I got to go take a deep breath and then we'll be back to tackle our surprise question.
Yes. This time from a listener.
Woo.
It's me. Hi. I'm sorry. I just wanted to be Taylor Swift. Okay. All right. Okay, friends, we're back with our surprise question. And as I alluded to a few seconds ago, this surprise question is not a surprise to us, at least. This question came from a listener via Twitter, but it has not only come from this listener. We've had this question a few times. So yeah, we figured it'd be best to just share it on the podcast so a few people can maybe learn from it, hear from it, feel comfortable with their own choices from it.
Sure.
So listener on Twitter said, quote, several times on your podcast, you have mentioned condoms when playing with other men. Does that also include Barry and Gary when swapping among the four of you? End quote. I feel like people just maybe want to just learn more about our lives and how we play. So we're going to answer it for you. Normally, yes, we use condoms playing together. There has been one, maybe two max times where the four of us, we haven't used a condom, but it's really been out of comfortability with each other, mm-hmm. not just a random like, hey, let's not use condoms. It's more so been in your hot tub or at a time where it's not convenient to maybe have a condom on for play. Mm-hmm. But because we are so comfortable with each other, we know that we all get checked routinely or we trust each other at the very least.
Yeah.
We are comfortable with occasionally not having that happen, but it is not the norm for us four to play without condoms. It's definitely the norm to use condoms.
Right. And I'll throw in this.
Yeah.
Madison and I it's all four of us really, but I feel like it's Madison and I who acknowledge it. We just celebrated our 10-year like friendship anniversary.
True.
So like this is once or twice in the 10
fucking years
that we've known each other. Yeah. So just to try to help put that into context, like this is pretty fucking rare that we haven't used condoms with each other.
Yeah. Let alone the risk of like diseases out there, the risk of pregnancy. Like, I don't want little babies from random people out there.
You want a little Gary baby?
No, not really.
Me either.
And first and foremost, we respect whatever people choose to do.
Sure.
That's your call. But if you're in a situation where someone wants to use a condom and you don't want to use a condom, unfortunately, I think you need to respect the choice of the person who wants to wear the condom, the over-conservative choice you need to respect in that moment. Mm-hmm. Now, personally, the feeling of a condom or without, I don't think one's like a dead orgasm giver or not.
No.
They both feel great, condom or not. I don't think there's a glaring difference. There's a slight difference, sure. But I don't think I've ever fucked someone. I'm like, oh my God, they had a fucking condom on. It didn't feel that great. I've never said that.
No, and I agree absolutely. Like, I don't know if this probably says more about my vagina than anything else, but like, I can't hardly fucking tell. Like, I must have a numb vagina, but like, that is really not a factor for me. Like, if you have a condom on, it's not that, oh my God, I can't orgasm or it feels so artificial or like, I don't know, like, that is not my experience at all.
Yeah.
So for me, it really makes absolutely no difference. Like, I prefer to have the condom there to be safe.
And it's just a cleaner, easier cleanup,
at least for
the female.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I feel like this probably impacts the males a lot more. Number one, their feeling. Yeah. Number two, the cleanup afterwards. I'm sure I don't think it's that hard to take the condom off and then wipe yourself. But still, it probably impacts the male more. But from a female perspective, makes no difference. So why not be safe rather than sorry?
Exactly.
Personally?
Yeah, yeah.
That's my thing. So yeah, we are not the foursome that is fluid bonded. That might be something newbies might hear in the lifestyle, that you're full on comfortable and confident with the other people you're playing with, that you're okay with your fluids switching between each other. You're fluid bonded and comfortable. That's not the norm, I don't think, especially not for newbies in the lifestyle. And it's not the norm for us.
No.
Like we said, 10 fucking years of fucking around, not super, super regularly, but pretty regularly, and only once or twice we didn't use condoms. That's a big fucking deal.
Yeah. So I think to just put the fucking bow tie on this, absolutely, we advocate using condoms to be as safe as possible. We understand that there may be people or situations where you're making other choices and like, you got to do you, boo, but FWAT says wear the condom.
Wrap it up.
Yep.
And we're going to wrap up this episode.
Just like this.
But But really, thank you, listeners, for those questions. Please keep them coming because it will help support a future episode, especially if we get lots of questions about something. We'd love to address it on one of our future podcasts.
Absolutely. So that's it for episode 35. Thank you so much for joining us. Please feel free to reach out and connect with us on social media or friendswithatwist@yahoo.com, on our website, wherever. Find us, Google us, we're there. And until next time, friends, get out there and find your twist.
Oh, yeah.